Hello again, Phantom fans, and welcome to the season finale of Ghost Stories. Ghost Stories is the official podcast of the Youngstown Phantoms and can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, Anchor, and many other popular podcatchers. Like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review today. Joining me on the show is a world traveler. He's played professional hockey in four countries. But before that, he spent 45 games with the Youngstown Phantoms during his only season in the USHL, that being the 2012-2013 season. He put up 12 goals and 29 points in those 45 games, plus 7 points and in nine playoff games as he helped the Phantoms to the 2013 Eastern Conference Final. After 145 games and 106 points at the University of Maine, he played 202 professional games in North America between the AHL and the ECHL, putting up 146 points, most of those with the Wheeling Nailers over three seasons, and was a 2020 ECHL All-Star. He's been playing professionally in Europe for the last two seasons, now with Angers of the Ligue Magnus from Natick, Massachusetts, Cam Brown. Cam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great intro, too.
Hey, man, I am here to pump your tires. That is my raison d'etre. And speaking of Le Français, parle-tu français, monsieur?
No, I don't speak much. Bonjour, bonsoir, merci, merci beaucoup. I'm working on it, I guess, a little bit, picking up some things.
Let me help you out with one for free. Où est la salle de bain?
La salle de bain.
Where is the bathroom?
Ah, yeah, I need that a lot too. So,
all joking aside, how difficult is it going to play hockey halfway around the world in a place where I'm betting you don't speak the language? Your first two seasons in Europe were in Denmark, and if your elite prospects page is to be believed, you also played a handful of games in Sweden too.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, all three of those countries, I mean, obviously don't speak the language, Danish, Swedish, French. But I mean, pretty lucky that a lot of people speak English. And it's pretty friendly in the locker rooms. A lot of guys are speaking English and like to speak English. So it's been good.
So again, if elite prospects is to be believed, you're just one of 10 American board players in La Ligue Magnus. But you're speaking a good deal of English over there in the locker rooms?
Yeah, there's plenty of English being spoken. Our coach is doing mostly English, kind of half and half, I guess, a little French in there too. So you're picking up little things here and there, I guess. But yeah, guys are speaking English. There's guys, Canadians, one other American and Canadian pass. So speaking a lot of English.
Okay. What would you say the main difference is between playing in the minor pro leagues in North America and playing some of these national leagues in Europe?
Well, I think obviously you already pointed out the biggest thing is the language, kind of learning new cultures. But the biggest thing I would say is you're playing less games. You're playing in someone else's home. You're playing with people who this is their home. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I guess, different in that sense. You're trying to kind of figure out, oh, where are we? You know what I mean? Versus when you're back home, you're just, oh, we're playing in Mass or whatever, Maine. So I think that's the biggest difference, but less games, I would say, is the biggest difference over here.
I took a look at some of the cities in La Ligue Magnus. You're getting around France there. You're going to the capital region a little bit. No teams in Paris, but Nice is in the league. That's down on the Riviera. You get to go to Bordeaux. That's in wine country. I mean, where's the downside of the league here?
Oh yeah, you know your French geography, huh? Yeah, Sergi, I think, is the closest one to Paris. Haven't been there yet, but yeah, there's some beautiful spots. For instance, this weekend we were in I don't know how to say it correctly, but Chamonix.
That's actually correct, Chamonix. Yeah,
Okay, Chamonix, and I was off the bus just taking pictures and videos. It was absolutely gorgeous. So, pretty lucky to go see some cool spots too on the way. Like you said, Bordeaux, Nice. I think Anglais is supposed to be pretty cool too as well.
What's the atmosphere like in the barns over there? I've seen some of Matt O'Connor's Instagram stories from the league he's in Slovakia, and the place is always packed. You'd think you were watching a Premier League soccer game.
Yeah, I mean, so far in Angers, it's been great. We've only had one home game, and I was like, I mean, I think maybe the rink holds 4,000, but it was sold out, packed. They play here. The games are at 8:30, late start. That's kind of new for me too. A little. That's kind of the French culture. They do things a little later, but the rink was slammed, packed, drummers going, kind of a play-by-play announcer, like often, like almost you feel like emceeing the whole night. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Speaking of Matt O'Connor, he was at Boston University while you were at Maine. Did you ever light the lamp on him?
Yeah, so this is the thing I couldn't figure out. I couldn't figure out if I scored on him. I think, I don't know, because he was 2 years we crossed over, but one year I don't know if he played in that game. It might have been
Okay.
on someone else. So I'm not sure actually. But I did. I don't know if you know this, but I lived with OC for a hot second in Wheeling.
Okay.
So it's cool to reminisce about our Youngstown days. That always got brought up, of course.
You are listening to Ghost Stories, the official podcast of the Youngstown Phantoms. I'm joined by Cam Brown, who is currently speaking to me from France. Cam, what'd you do this summer? Anything cool? Anything important that might have been televised? Anything?
I was fortunate enough, yeah, of course, to play in Three Ice. Awesome experience. Got to play in some cool cities, play hockey, the game I love, and compete every weekend in the summer, which was it was just a blast.
How exhausting is 3-on-3 hockey?
Yeah, I don't think people understood like how exhausting it was, and like with we had six skaters obviously and one goalie, and you kind of have to feel out when to really go all out and when to kind of conserve and still play good D without really killing yourself so that you can kind of jump in the offense with energy.
Yeah, I looked at the rules this morning. Icing is a penalty shot. If you are on offense and you retreat to kind of fly back at the zone, if you go back behind center ice, that's a penalty shot. There are no power plays. It's just all penalty shots. I mean, whoo.
Yeah, it was like I said, it was a lot of fun, and I think those rules kind of enhance the skill of the game and new school fast pace, skill offense, and that's what it was. It was a fun brand of hockey to play, and I think to watch for the fans. So it was yeah, it was a lot of fun, kind of adjusting to those new rules. I remember, I think it was the first weekend I had one of those violations where I went like back court, like just not even thinking, oh, had to toss it back, you know. So. It was fun. Blast.
Brian Trottier was your coach. How cool was that getting to talk hockey and learn from one of just the all-time greats that have ever played this sport?
Yeah, I think that was one of the coolest things, one of the coolest parts of my hockey career, just like being around those Hall of Fame coaches, especially, sorry, Trottier. Just calling him Trots. You're kind of looking around. Should I be doing this? But it was an honor to learn the game from them and kind of just be around them and hang out with all those guys. It was surreal.
I mean, I've got to concur. Probably a couple of years after, well, several years after you left, after I had taken the play-by-play job, Trache was in town for a Pittsburgh Penguins night, and the Lonies brought him down to the booth for me to interview at intermission, and I was calling him Trots, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, this is Brian Trottier. Should I
Yeah,
be calling him
yeah, yeah. I know,
Trots?
Mr. Trottier. I mean, sir. Yeah,
Sir, yes, exactly. Your team Trottier won the championship. You got a nice chunk of change for, is that the largest deposit you've ever made in your bank account?
yes.
That had to feel good, didn't it?
Yeah, right? It felt great. I mean, sounds corny to say, but anytime you compete and play and have a chance to win a championship, well, whether there's money on the line or anything, it's a big deal. Grown men competing against grown men trying to win something. It's pretty cool. It's pretty special. So it was really cool to win with our team and with those group of guys. And we got to know each other really well through the summer. So it was an awesome summer.
You captained the Maine Black Bears during your senior season. How much did that mean to you?
It was an honor. That's one of my, I'd say, biggest honors as in my career so far. Kind of to be selected by your peers to be a leader. Huge honor and one of the biggest in my career so far.
You went to Maine as a 20-year-old freshman. You're seeing that more and more these days. Players aging out of junior hockey before they go on to college. Do you think you would have been ready to play college hockey at age 18, or do you think those extra 2 years in juniors, you know, really helped?
I think you always kind of think you're ready, right? In your head, you're so excited and you've trained your whole life and dreamt about it your whole life to play college hockey, Division I college hockey. So you think you're ready, but looking back now, I would say I was not ready at that time. And taking those years was the best thing I could have done as far as being able to be ready, come in and be confident and contribute right away.
Do you think the fact that you were a 20-year-old freshman and not an 18-year-old, it helped you get more ice time? You played 74 games your first two seasons, which I would think is a lot more than most 18 or 19-year-olds see, unless, you know, there's some kind of really special talent.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said, I think just being 20, coming in a little more mature, and of course your body and being strong, but also just mentally having that confidence of, you know, I played a ton of games in juniors in Youngstown before that's prepared me to take this step and contribute right away.
You were joined in Orono, if I'm saying that right. By a couple of guys that you skated with here in Youngstown, Sean Romeo, Dan Renault, Stu Higgins didn't get to skate with you in Youngstown, but you did play alongside him at Maine. And any family-friendly stories that you can share with us about the boys? Now, I'm going to remind you family-friendly because I don't have that E next to the podcast
logo. Yeah. But that was first off, yeah, great to play with Romes, Reno, and obviously Stu. Talk about our Youngstown days. I've crossed paths with a ton of Youngstown guys, and it's always a blast, you know, catching up with them or reminiscing on their Youngstown days. But Reno and Rome's the only one I could think of that out top of my head when I heard this is kind of my trade story too. But when I first got to Youngstown, I moved in with Reno and. Okay. So not a college story, but I still just give him a lot of crap about this, but he made me pasta for pregame. And then we spent 4 years together at school, living together. And I always just have given him the hardest time about the nicest thing he ever did for me was make me pasta. And he hasn't really gone over the top with anything else. So I said he needs to pick it up. So I always gave him crap about that. But
what a guy.
What a guy. Yeah. Reno. But yeah, one of my best friends, I got to live with him at school, for 2 years. So it was a blast getting to know him, getting close with his family too. So
when you think about your time at Maine, what do you think of?
I mean, off the bat, I think of, the rink, the Alphonse, amazing. And just playing with some of my close friends, you know, in my class and the classes above me and below me, just getting to play, like I said earlier, the game I love with some of my best friends with a crazy crowd. It doesn't get better than that, you know, playing in front of a sweet crowd and playing the game you love. So that's kind of what I think of, just the alpha on the rocking and playing in an intense game.
You're listening to Ghost Stories, the official podcast of the Youngstown Phantoms. I'm Voice of the Phantoms, Matt Lipsack, joined by Cam Brown, who is currently in France. He's playing for the Duc d'Angers which translates to the Angers Dukes over there in La Ligue Magnus this season. So you came, I'm going to take you into the way back machine, even further than the college. I'm going to take you back to 2012. You were acquired by the Youngstown Phantoms in a trade about 5 or 6 weeks into the season, in exchange for JT Stenline from the with the Sioux City Musketeers. If you can recall, you know, what can you tell us about what you were doing when you found out about the trade, and you know, how did you find out?
I remember it actually pretty vividly. Obviously, for I think first time I got traded, but I was with Sioux City, obviously, and we got back. It was a Wednesday game, and that Thursday was actually Thanksgiving. So we got back Thursday, Thanksgiving Thursday at, I don't know what time, 2, 3 in the morning.
Right,
from
of course.
Tri-City, I want to say. Yeah, of course. Standard. And unpack my bag, whatever. And the coach, Larson, was like, hey, I need to talk to you for a second. And I'm kind of like, what's going on?
You know, it's 2 in the morning. What can you possibly need me
for? Morning. Like, what? Why do you need to talk to me? You know, I'm kind of like, what'd I do wrong? He came in, I came in and he shut the door and he's like, hey, Brownie, you know, we've traded you to, Youngstown for, I'm like, I was just, I think just so young then too, you know, that was my first taste of like, almost, it felt like pro hockey, completely shocked, didn't know how to react. Like just was so shell shocked and stunned. And I went back to my billets, told my roommate in the car I just got traded, and then I couldn't sleep at all. Waited to tell my parents in the morning and tell my billet family, hey, I got traded. I gotta leave, I think, today or tomorrow to fly to Youngstown, you know. So crazy.
So you brought up, you know, you talked about your billet family, and part of the difficulty of getting traded in junior hockey is, you know, you're already living with the billet family. You're just getting to know these folks, you know, in your case, you know, 6 or 7 weeks into the season. And then all of a sudden you have to pack everything up, or at least it sounds like in your case, you got to pack an overnight bag and get out of town, go a third of the way across the country, and you get put into a brand new billet house. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was surreal, crazy. I actually went out to Sioux City a little bit early too, to move in with the family and like train out there with some of the younger guys. So I had been there a solid 2 months with the Kirks, great family. Was happy, was getting comfortable. And then, yeah, you just pack everything up, move to a new family, new teammates, new friends, you know, right away. And I think I didn't even meet, I dropped my stuff off. I don't know if there was no morning skate or anything, but I didn't meet everyone till right before the game, dressed and play the game with them. And I was like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? And guys, hey, oh, hey, I'm on your line tonight, I think, you know, so pretty surreal, crazy, but I was happy it happened because it was meant to be. I love my time in Youngstown. Still talk to a lot of those guys, still talk to the Herchecks, my billet family. Got to see them this weekend and this weekend, this past summer in Pittsburgh. Got to see them, so it was awesome.
I'm going to ask you to keep reaching into that way back machine. What can you recall about that 2012-2013 team? There are some great names on that team. Sam Annis, Sean Romeo, who was one of your college teammates. He's also been a guest on this show. Nathan Walker has his name on the Stanley Cup. And your old college teammate, Dan Renouf, we've talked about. You also played alongside a 16-year-old Kyle Connor. Things have turned out okay for him.
Yeah, he's decent.
He's all right.
When I think of that team, I just think about how close we were. We were so close, and it translated on the ice. We played so well together, so hard. We always had each other's back, and I remember we were just so crushed when we lost to Dubuque, sadly, because we really thought and believed we had the team and the squad to win it all. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but yeah, I had a great time in Youngstown. Like I said, still talk to all those guys, and it was just a tight-knit team, and I think it paid dividends on the ice.
I want to take you back to April 27th, 2013, Game 2, Eastern Conference Finals. Phantoms end up losing that game 3-2. fell behind in the series 2-0 before, you know, series shifted back to Covelli. Phantoms won two in a row and forced game five. But a lot of people in Youngstown think that the Phantoms scored a third goal in that game. What say you?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I can get into this. I just remember Jimmy Mazza was trying to pull up YouTube clips of you know, the highlights from the game and that moment, I guess. But so it's pretty funny. I saw Maz maybe two or three summers ago, and he, you know, Maz is crazy.
Yeah,
he's still talking about it. You know, we should. So. Yeah, I guess that's all I can say. Other than that, no comment.
I get it, man. And any other favorite memories you can share of your time with the Phantoms?
I think some of those bus rides and getting into towns, you know, in the mid-morning, rolling off the bus, hopping on the ice for a practice with the guys, a little tired. Just the stories on the bus and the stories in the locker room, kind of that camaraderie. And that's, you know, why we play, why I still play. I guess like one little thing you love about the game is just connecting with people in the room.
Cam, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Fans, I hope you have enjoyed this season of Ghost Stories. Fall Classic was last Saturday. Hope you enjoyed the start of the season, and lots to come here from the 2022-2023 Phantoms. For Cam Brown, my name is Matt Lipsack, the voice for your Youngstown Phantoms. Sound out. Fade to black.